Okay.
Only if you blow stuff up, Rabbi.
Okay, the viability of Karbanos in the future and in the present. So there's really two different shirim. One is that there is, and we'll deal with the future first, and then we'll go back into the present. The future, is there, there are rumors around, and that's I guess why you could call this a Mythbusters idea, that there are shitos at least, or at least there are those that are of the opinion, perhaps most prominently having those opinion being the Rambam, that when the Beis HaMikdash gets rebuilt, we're not going to bring Karbanos. The Karbanos were a thing of the past, and we're not going to need it going forward. So the Rambam does say that. The Rambam says that explicitly, and not doesn't say that explicitly, but he does bring up such a svara in the Mor Nevuchim. Mor Nevuchim, the guide to the perplexed. So he gets into what is the reason that we have Karbanos, and we have, I put here from the English edition of the Mor Nevuchim, the top underlined part where it says it is namely impossible to go suddenly from one extreme to the other. I mean, B'nai Yisrael, the Jews were idol worshippers. Part of being an idol worshipper included being somebody who would bring sacrifices. And he actually gives the example here that that let's say a Navi would come and say, you no longer have to do any mitzvahs, just think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to daven out loud, you don't have to go to Minyan, just meditate for 45 minutes a day, and that's really your mitzvah. So that would be very awkward. We just find it very difficult to do. And we hear these ideas out there that a time of Shiach is not going to be mitzvahs, it's going to be some point where there may not be mitzvahs to do, whatever. So it's a little hard. What does that mean? How are we going to be Jewish then? So the Rambam says, well, how can one possibly serve a god without bringing karbanos? Because all of the gods that are served in those days were brought by pagans who all brought karbanos, who all brought sacrifices. So it can't be that it won't that we won't have it. So maybe about a third from the bottom, where the it was in accordance with the wisdom and plan of God as displayed in the whole creation. They did not command us to give up and to discontinue all these matters of service. For to obey such a commandment, that would have been contrary to the nature of man, who generally cleaves to that which he is used to. It would be those who it would in those days have been the same impression as a prophet. Oh, this is the example that we just gave. And then the bottom underlined section where it says, for this reason God allowed these kinds of service to continue. He transferred to his service that which had formerly served as a worship of created beings and of things imaginary and unreal, and commanded us to serve him in the same manner. I mean, the way that Avodah Zarah is being served, so too Hashem said that I should be served in the same way. So what does that imply? That implies that there's really no inherent value to Karbanos. And that, the truth is, we say that every year. Part of the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon is Hashem saying, do you really think I need your Karbanos? Which is also brought as a proof. You really think I want your Karbanos? Now, the truth is, if one looks in the context of that Haftorah, it's the first parak of Sefer Yeshayahu, it's clearly in a context of, do you really think I want your Karbanos when you're treating the widows and the orphans so badly? I mean, it's not really saying, there's not an inherent need for Karbanos, it's that, you know, you need to have a sense of priorities and a sense of values, and you're not having it. All you're doing is just focusing on the korban being brought. So this is the Rambam that is brought, and he continues on for some more length about this topic as well. But I don't believe that he actually ever says explicitly, therefore it won't be in the future. It's just implied that it went away, meaning as humanity developed, it went away. There was no need for it, and the implication being, and therefore, why would there be a need for it in the future, assuming that man continues to develop? So that's where the idea comes from, that the Rambam holds that there aren't going to be Karbanos when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. The problem is, with that assumption, is that the Rambam explicitly says that there will be Karbanos when it will be rebuilt, and he says it in probably more, I don't want to call it a more prominent place, but a more explicit place, meaning the Mor Nevuchim is his Hashkafa, is philosophy. But in the Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, where he brings his Book of Laws, so he has, at the very end, there's something called Hilchos Malachim, that's the very last section, and the very last few chapters deal with Mashiach, or at least a couple of assumptions about what Mashiach will be like. And he says, HaMelech HaMashiach, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Aleph, which is the second source, number one on the page, sorry about that, but HaMelech HaMashiach Asid Lamud V'lachzer Malchus David L'Yosha L'Memshel Sarishona, that the Melech HaMashiach in the future will bring back the kingdom of David to the way it was. Ubone hamikdash umakavitz nitchei Yisrael. We'll build the base of Mikdash and provide for the ingathering of Bnei Yisrael. V'chozun kol mishpatim b'yamav kashayu mikodem, and all the laws will go back to the way it was. And what does that mean? makriven karbanos, which means that we're going to bring karbanos. And he says va'osin shmitin v'yovelos, and we'll continue, and we'll go back to having the shmitin yovel. And obviously, all the laws of tumah and tara are going to go back into applications again. But the Rambam explicitly says in his book of laws that there are going to be karbanos in the future. So that's that. It's hard to refute that. But there are those who try to understand, okay, so what did the Rambam mean then in the Mor Nebuchim? He wasn't just playing games. What did he mean by saying, and could the Rambam's hashkafa, could his philosophy of, oh, that's really the premise for Karbanos, when he says that, can we fit that in with having Karbanos in the future? I should have given, if anybody wants to see more of this, I think all of the source for the first part of this year come from an article that was actually in the OU magazine 3, 4, or 5 years ago. Dr. Zivotofsky, probably internationally renowned as being the one who brought the suit against the secretary Clinton, that he wanted his son's passport to say Jerusalem, Israel. Remember that? That was on last year or two. So he brought that suit. He also has an article that has running this theme. He doesn't call it Mythbusters. He calls it something else, which appears pretty I don't think in every Jewish action, but pretty regularly in Jewish action. So several years ago, he did it on this topic. So the first part of this year are sources that he brings down. So he points to the Meshech Chachma in the beginning of Vayikra. Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk. And he gives not a very long introduction, but an introduction to the book of Vayikra, where we begin discussing the laws of Karbanos. And he says, let's talk about the Tam of Karbanos. Hamora Amar, and he right away quotes the Rambam, Ki hu laharchik leva adam yavodah zara. Now, why do we have Karbanos? In order to separate man from doing avodah zara. Right, which is what we read. It's not, we read a little, that's essentially what we read. Baharamban. Now the Ramban argues on the Rambam. The Ramban doesn't appreciate that Rambam. The Ramban says, "V'siyato amru kula karev kol kochos alamos." What do you mean? It's a mitzvah in the Torah, and it provides for kochos. There's various powers that need to be unleashed, and there's an effect that we have to do this. It's not because of some fear of avodah zarah. Chas v'shalom. There's a real mitzvah in bringing karbanos. So the Meshech Chachma says there's a way of bringing this together. V'hao inyan alektri ruchani. That there is a idea of a powerful ruchnius here. Shepabulas haKohen asa gavoas ba'olamos shonim kiyadua, with the actions of the Kohen that he brings us to higher worlds. So how can one resolve this Rambam and Ramban? He says v'ulai yesh lahachria ki karbanos bama heim rak laharchik avodah zara milavavos am Yisrael. That what were karbanos? So generally, we think of karbanos as being brought in the base of Migdash, but there were hundreds of years where Bnei Israel had private bamos. They had their own little mizbechos in their backyard. If one went to the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit that was in the Franklin Institute a few years ago, so they actually had a few of these on display. Like they looked like pretty big. Like cake plates, those cake plates that have the stem at the bottom. So they had these things there that they said were private altars that people had that they used in their backyards, so or front yards. So he says that maybe that's what the Rambam was talking about. That the idea that you could bring a korban whenever you felt like it in your backyard, that was to counteract the idea of avodah zarah. The korbanos, the sacrifices brought in the Beis HaMikdash itself, now that clearly the Rambam would assume was a mitzvah, and that was incumbent upon us, and Hashem has his reasons why that is, whatever they are, but it's not just to try to separate us from avodah zarah. There's more to it than that. So that's the idea that the Meshech Chachma brings. The Michtav Meliyahu perhaps drives us even, I found this very helpful, this Michtav Meliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Dessler. So Rav Eliyahu Dessler has in his fourth volume, so he goes through a few mitzvos, a few chukos. So the next one, right here, the next one on the list is Shatnis, the one before is Tumas Mace and the idea of Para Duma. So he goes through a couple of these mitzvos and tries to give a little bit of a background to it. And he suggests that when the Rambam says, he quotes that the Rambam, But he also points out that the Rambam himself writes that the purpose of various korbanos is to counteract various things. That the idea of bringing a chatas is hainu chit mechiras Yosef, is to counteract the sin of selling Yosef. V'in shegeder korban hu kein refuas hanefesh shetzricha l'redes l'omek. That there is an idea that korbanos are to actually do something, that the Rambam himself has such ideas. So yes, it's true the Rambam writes in one place that, oh, it's the counteract idea of Avodah Zarah, but the Rambam himself in the Mor Nevuchim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, seems to say that there are deeper ideas behind the bringing of Korbanos. So to assume that it's just going to go away is difficult to withstand. But then he continues on and makes a very, very interesting point. He says, let's add on, and we've talked about this before, that the greater a person is, the greater his Yetzer Hara is. And the Rambam himself records that the beginning of Avodah Zarah was by a small change. The Rambam in his Hilchos Avodah Zarah gives an entire history lesson to how Avodah Zarah came about. And he talks about that people, they had an idea, a conception of God, and then their conception of God started they started seeing God as too distant, and they realized that they should probably serve the things that God created. So they started recognizing the sun and the moon, and perhaps became a little bit too involved in their recognizing of the sun and the moon, and started worshiping the sun and the moon because they were creations of God. And then the sun and the moon became a separation between them, and that's how Avodah Zarah came about. But you see that Avodah Zarah came from a good place. It came from an idea of servicing HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So it's not that it's a low life type of thing. It's a high sort of thing. It comes from a higher level. And then he adds on in the second parak that we have here, that we've talked about this Gemara, that there was a time when they were able to be mevatel the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. Right, the Gemara says that they decided to get rid of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. How did they do that? So they did that by causing it to come out. And what came out? A lion came out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I never thought about this before. Why in the world is it coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Says Rav Dessler, because the source, the essence of Avodah Zarah, yes, it's true, the Gemara does say in other places that really only people got involved in Avodah Zarah because you're able to lead to immorality. But even that, you can tie in together. But the essence of Avodah Zarah is coming from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is coming from the holiest and highest of places. So Rav Dessler turns around and says, so yes, it's true we don't have a Yetzer Hara, a desire to worship Avodah Zarah. That's not necessarily a good thing. That means because we are on a low level. And that's why we don't have the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. But however, he continues on, that's the underlying part that I have at the bottom of the page here. However, our hope is that when the Beis HaMikdash gets rebuilt, we will go back to a higher level. Nimsa shegedolei ha'asaga haru'uyin le'Beis HaMikdash v'ashras ha'shchina heim asher tzrichim le'karbanos sheheim kesarim bifnei Avodah Zarah kamo shekasav HaRambam. He says, in the future, we might have, once again, a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, and the necessity of bringing karbanos to counteract that desire might become necessary once again. So it's true, the Rambam might say that that's the essence, that's where it came from. Not because, oh, we're just copying the non-Jews and they made it out of thin air. No, it actually comes from something. It comes as a way of servicing a divine entity. Not their divine entity, but what they conceive as a divine entity. So perhaps we would have the same Yetzer Hara. So therefore we will need Karbanos once again. Yes, it's true right now we might not have that desire. And yes, it's true right now we might not be able to conceive, like, what in the world does shechting an animal and having all that blood running around and sprinkling blood on an altar, what does that have to do with servicing God? It's true that right now we might not get that. When Mashiach comes and we get to a higher spiritual level once again, the understanding, the background, the reality of what Karbanos do, so perhaps it will come back into effect. Yes?
Rabbi, when I look at the Chumash, tell me if I'm wrong, the Karbanos literally doesn't have anything to do, as far as I can see in the Chumash, with the kinds of things you're talking about. It has to do with, it seems like, Averas mm-hmm. of various types, that you are bringing these for to be able to be forgiven for as part of another process. That specifically, it looks like,
right,
is what's going on there.
Okay.
Not anything with the Avodah Zarah or what we've been talking about, But literally, specifically that, and I've been asked in my life in various circumstances by non-Jews, how can you get rid of your sins? They always ask me this. You know, you don't have a temple anymore.
Oh, okay.
So you have no way to get rid, because they read it also.
It's good kasha.
Literally, what, you know, they say, we have a way, but
Rabbi Akiva was bothered by the same question.
You know, I mean, I had a lady come in the airport, sit down next to me. She started to have a nice, she asked me about, I was going to Israel, so she was too. And she started to ask me about, do I know about Nazareth and Bethlehem? I said, no, I don't really know about these places. She wanted to know the weather. And then she started in on me.
Right.
How do you get rid of these?
Right. So Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, in one of his books in... which one? I could figure out what it is. In one of his books, he has an entire chapter on that question, where he says that was the big crisis after the fall of the Second Temple. That's why Paul went in one direction and figured out that, oh, it must be that Jesus somehow died, so that whatever that Hashkafa is. And Rabbi Akiva holds that, no, it must be that our tefillah has replaced Karbanos. So, and it could be that that was perhaps what was lacking in the second Beis Hamikdash, meaning we have a problem conceiving, how does Yom Kippur work? That all of a sudden there's this goat, and that's you can stay home as long as you're not eating anything, and this goat is all of a sudden is slaughtered, and we're all good from that? How does that work exactly?
So they were doing Karbanos, but not doing the tefillah part?
I think one can make that case, yeah.
But Rabbi, am I right about literally...
So you're correct in that it works. I mean, that's what the Ramban was saying. There's very deep, the Ramban, right?
Related to our...
There's very deep and holy things that we don't understand, and somehow it works. And somehow it's able to take care of things. The Rambam would say, all that is true, but where does it come from? I mean, why are we starting there? I think that's how we would go back and understand.
But the things are the Averis.
Right? Well, not every Karbanos are just brought for Averis.
Not everything, but that's some of it, right?
Whatever one.
There's specific cause and effects when you read it, right? And
okay.
You will bring the Korban, and it will.
Right. Right. So all that is true. I think the Rambam might be starting from the a point before that, saying, why should that be true? Why did Hashem create it so that the way we resolve these issues, or the way we give thanks to this, right? Why did He do it so that an animal dies in the process? Like, why does that come about? So that's, I think, where the Rambam is stepping in. So the premise of that is because, well, you see everybody else is doing a Menais, that needed to be the mode of Avoda. It needed to be the vote of servicing God. And now you get into, okay, well, you know, this affects that, and this forgives that, and this is brought there, and this is brought there. Right? But the premise of that is I think, what the Rambam is talking about. Okay? All right. So the other famous quote, or the famous person that is invoked in this idea that there is not going to be Karbanos brought in the future, is Rav Kook. So it apparently comes, it could be in other places, but Dr. Zivotofsky, I'm not an expert in Rav Kook, that it apparently comes from a comment in the Olas Re'iya, which is Rav Kook's commentary on the Siddur. And it comes from a section that we say every day, that we're going to bring the Mincha. Why the Mincha? So what about the Korbanos? So he says that we would bring these Korbanos that the person would be able to understand that by bringing the Korbanos he'll be able to come closer to Hashem. Now the underlined part, aval la'asid lavo in the future, shefa hadas yispashet v'yichadet afilu ba'yichayim. There's going to be a greater understanding that's going to even flow into the ba'yichayim, even into the animals. Lo yadu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kachi k'mleyas aretz dasas Hashem. Right, v'lo yiru v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kachi. You won't waste... Yareyu. Okay, y'olei yareyu v'lo yashchisu. You won't waste b'chol har kachi, my holy mountain. Ki m'leya ha'aretz deya es Hashem. Because the entire land will be filled with understanding Hashem. V'ha'krava shetia az shel mincha. And therefore, what will the only korbanos be in the future? The only korbanos are going to be the korban mincha, not the only going to be non-animal sacrifices. Animal sacrifice is going to be gone. Why? So he seems to explain because bali chayim, even animals, are going to even have an understanding and a conception of Hashem. So that is brought in the name of Rav Kook. This is also perhaps the source for the idea that Rav Kook was a vegetarian. Rav Kook, I think, was a vegetarian. But the source for the idea of vegetarianism in the future being the ideal, because animals are going to, their life form is then going to be raised, and we're going, and therefore we're not going to eat them anymore. So Rav Kook does in other places talk about the bringing back of korbanos. So it doesn't seem to be that this carries the day. What was this talking about? So Dr. Zivotofsky suggests, and Rav Kook talks about this in other places as well, that there is going to be a further point in Mashiach. I mean, Mashiach comes, there's going to be various stages. So a later stage is going to be the animals having das, some of these miraculous things that we read about. That's not necessarily coming in the beginning of Mashiach, it's coming at the end. So the Beis is going to be rebuilt, Karbanos are going to be, even Rav Kook would agree, there are going to be Karbanos for a while. And maybe there's a later stage, whatever this means, that where Karbanos are then going to fall away. So the suggestion that, oh, he held that there aren't going to be Karbanos, so it seems like he did not assume that way. There is even an idea that he points out that we're going to be bringing Karbanos to make up for Karbanos that were missed. There are a couple of Karbanos that are missed out on, so maybe we're obligated to bring those. So he brings a source for this, and we say it every Rosh Chodesh. In the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, that we say, it says, "Vavienu l'tzion rechab yirunav yishlam bis mikdashcha b'simchas olam." But you bring us to Tzion in glad song, and to Yerushalayim, and to your holy temple. V'sham na'asal lefanechas karbanos chavuseinu, and there we'll be able to do your karbanos. Tamidim kisidram u'musafim kehilchasam. We'll do the tamidim in order, and the musafim as they're supposed to be done. V'yas musaf yom Rosh Chodesh hazeh. And the musaf of this Rosh Chodesh will be done and will be brought in front of you. What do you mean, this Rosh Chodesh? Mashiach hasn't come for this Rosh Chodesh. Mashiach is coming for maybe next Rosh Chodesh. What do you mean, this Rosh Chodesh? So the suggestion is, no. This Rosh Chodesh, there's going to be make-up korbanos. And the korban musaf that we didn't bring this Rosh Chodesh is then going to be made up later. This is an idea that is found in the Rishonim, in a sefer called the Sefer HaManhig. Somebody, Rav Avraham Ayarchi, his name, Rav Avraham Ayarchi, because he came from the town of Lunel. Get it? Yarchi, Lunel, right? Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's real. Rav Ayarchi from the lunar town. Oh, Lunel, lunar, yeah. Like moon. Yarchi is the Ureach, the moon. So for Avraham Hayarchi. So he went around, traveled to various different places, was able to collect a lot of different minhagim from different places. And he wrote a book called Sefer HaManhig, the book of the minhagim of the various places. Now the truth is, if I didn't see this, I wouldn't have picked this up. But he says, V'sham na'aseh lefanecha, about four lines down, in this paragraph about Rosh Chodesh, he says, there we're going to do. He doesn't quote the rest of the things. I didn't know what he was talking about. He says, "Va'alti tama, don't wonder mi ein yaspiku lanu behemus lahakiv kol karbanos shenachzu michorban abayis." He says, and don't wonder where they're going to get all those animals. Something like he wrote 25,000 musafim that have been missed on Rosh Chodesh. Don't wonder where we're going to get all of those. Amud kehen beurim karbanos michorban habayis. I think I'm missing some words here, a couple of letters here. Amud Kohen Be'urim V'tumim, until the Kohen can once again have the Urim V'tumim. Sherei HaKosav Mivaser Bo Kol Hatzon Kedar Yikavsu Lach. Plus there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that we're going to collect all of the sheep in order for you to be able to be brought. I mean, that's actually a pasuk explicitly saying that. Now, don't wonder, you can get the animals. Don't worry, all the animals will come to you in order to be brought as karbanos. So don't worry, you'll find them all. Uf'karvenu Nidava Aval Karbanos Techova Avar Yom Abatel Kavona. And you're going to bring the korban. So I assume what he means by this is that the Korban Musaf on Rosh Chodesh is some sort of, even though we're obligated to bring it, is like a chatas. It's something that is necessary to bring in order to achieve something. As opposed to a Korban Tamid, the daily offerings are not going to be brought. But the Korban Musaf, as Dr. Ekman talked about in his shiur a couple of weeks ago, has a specific purpose of a chatas, and that's going to need to be brought. So we're going to make up for all the old Korban Musaf Rosh Chodeshes that haven't brought in the past. And it's, it's explicit.
The sheep with their self-awareness are going to come on their own accord for this.
How they're not going to miss out? How could they miss out? Wonderful, yeah. Yeah.
What about the other
Kodesh Hazeh? So I don't know. All I have is what he says here. But at least within the Rosh Kodesh, in the Tefilas Musaf itself, it seems to relate that the korban from this Rosh Kodesh is yet to be brought. It will be brought in the future. So that is the korbanos of the future. So it seems like in the time of Mashiach. The assumption, by the way, the Rambam himself has all the laws of Karbanos, so it's hard to understand why he would put that all in there if it's not going to be needed once again in the future. So,
I just have one question. I always thought that when we went from Karbanos to Tefillah, we were evolving higher.
Right, that's based on this Rambam.
So then why, if we're evolving higher, why would we go back?
So I think that's where you would... those are the two approaches. I mean, the Meshech Chachma says, no, you're not really evolving. You're only evolving higher in that you didn't have to bring in your own place, your own Bama. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that he would agree to the Rambanan. I think that's what the Meshech Chachma says. No, there's a lot that's going on there, and that has nothing to do with moral evolution. That's a mitzvah that Hashem gave that you have to bring over there. And the Miftah Meliyahu would say, it's not really evolving higher, it's evolving, but you're going to evolve back. Meaning, if you assume, and the Miftah Meliyahu is big on the idea of Yeridas Adoros, the idea of descendants of generations, so we assume Mashiach comes, if you assume that we're now on a much lower spiritual level, Mashiach will take us to a much higher spiritual level. So that what goes along with that is then going to be the understanding of the depth of the Korbanos that are brought. Okay. We're going to get back to that Meshech Chachma, though, so don't forget that. So what about Korbanos of the present? What about bringing Korbanos in the absence of there being a Beis HaMikdash? So we've referred to topics of this several times over the year, but hopefully tonight we'll knock out some of the main themes about it. There is, if Rabbi J. David Blythe in Contemporary Halakhic Problems, Volume 1, has a chapter on this, if you'd like it, about 20 pages on this topic. It's solid reading. I didn't bring it, but in the most recent RJJ journal that just came out, I think I had the idea for this year before I saw it in that journal, but somebody wrote a pretty brief summary of the various topics that we're going to cover as to bring Korbanos Bizman Hazeh in the absence of at least a physical Beis HaMikdash that is standing there. So if I were to ask you, hey, did you bring the Korban Pesach? So most people would say no. There is, I forget where I read this, it might have been in the RJJ journal, that apparently every year there is a petition that goes to the Supreme Court of Israel asking for permission to go onto Har HaBayis and bring Korbanos, the Korban Pesach, and every year, surprise, surprise, it gets rejected.
And they have a model. They have a model.
Yes, they have a model. What?
They do it somewhere.
Yeah, there is a model Korban Pesach that is brought. You could watch it on YouTube. What I found most, I actually saw it before because there was the Israeli equivalent of a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for this event that somehow came across through my inbox. So they showed highlights from the years past. They showed them passing along the pictures of blood from one person to the next. And the part that I found interesting was that there was two of them were skinny Kohanim, and one of the Kohanim were a little heavier, which, like, we think in the picture Mishnayos that I got when I was in third grade, that I learned, that I got my imagery from, every Kohen looked exactly the same. They're all, 5'10". And skinny. It's like, no, Kohanim are Kohanim. They come in all shapes and sizes. And I just found that, I don't know what I found. I found that interesting, cute, eye-opening, whatever. So what are the issues with bringing Korbanos today? Right, they ask you, no, why can't we bring a Korban? So, anyone? Anywhere. Well, anywhere. Why not? We could bring in the front lawn.
You're not allowed that private altar.
Well, so there's a prohibition, perhaps, in having private altars. So we'll get to that. So we're tameh. Okay, so being tameh happens to be one of the least of the problems. But what other issues? Yes?
Can we hold the kitcha liasid levo?
Kitcha liasid levo, meaning, so therefore, what? So that there's kedusha at the Har HaBayis?
That
there's no kedusha in the Har HaBayis. So maybe that makes it better. Then you can have a bama. We'll get to that. Okay. Any other thoughts? All right.
Are
right, let's see what other issues were brought. So before we get into the main issues, let's just show a couple of sources that they seem to have brought karbanos. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Edyos, source number 11, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shamati Shemakriven al pi she'ein beis afal pi she'ein beis. That they, I heard, and this is a Mishnah Edyos. Edyos, we actually came across in Daf Yomi recently, is the most authoritative of all Mishnayos. That I heard that they actually would bring a korban even though there was no Beis HaMikdash. That's what it sounds like. That's what Mishnah says. Va'ochlin kachi kachim, and they would eat the kachi kachim. They would eat the meat from it. Afal pi she'ein kalayim, and they would, even though there were no curtains around the Har HaBayis. And kachim kalim umaiser sheni afal pi she'ein choma, and they would eat things that are required to be eaten in Yerushalayim, meaning the maiser sheni that the fruits that they would bring to Yerushalayim, and kachim kalim are karbanos from the Beis HaMikdash that you could eat throughout Yerushalayim, even though there is no wall. Shekedusha rishon a kachal l'shaita v'kachal l'asid lava, because the first base of the kedusha from the first Beis HaMikdash was from the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was sanctified for then and forever. So there is continued sanctity in that spot. So that sounds like you can go ahead and bring it. By the way, the Rambam paskins like that in source number 12. Kol malkam shelo nasa b'chol elu v'chaseder. Well, you see at the end of the black letters, he said shehu kadosh ha'ezra v'yushalayim l'shaisan v'kitchel asalavu. The kedusha of the Azara and Yushalayim was that for then and for the future as well. And go to where it says halacha tesvav. Therefore, one can bring a Beis HaMikdash, all the karbanos, one can bring a karban today, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. Right? And it goes on and says, so the Rambam is paskins in the Mishnah Torah, that even though there is no built Beis HaMikdash, one is permitted to bring karbanos. As one is that? The Rambam says that, black and white. Source number 13, Ezra. When Ezra came from the book of Ezra, when he came from Bavel, the Pasuk says, Parak Gimel Pasuk Vav, Miyom Echad L'Chodesh HaShvi, on the first day of the seventh month, Hechalu La'alos Olos LaHashem, V'Heichal HaShem Lo Yusad. They were offering Karbanos to Hashem, and the Beis HaMikdash had not yet been built. It's cool. All right? And then Source number 14, two Mishnayos in the seventh parak of Maseches Pesachim. Number one, Ein Son Sapesach Lo Al Ashvud Velo Al Askala. Right, you're not allowed to roast the a Korban Pesach not on a spear and not on a Askala is I think some other type of metal utensil. Spit. A Shvud I think is a spit. Askala is also two types of spits. Okay, Amar Rabbi Tzaduk, Ma'aseh Rabbi Gamliel, Sha'amar Latevi Avdo, Save Itzala Lanu Es HaPesach Al Askala. Go and roast the Korban Pesach for us on this Askala. Who's Rabbi Gamliel? Gamliel lived after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's probably it's somebody who lived after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And then Mishnah Vav and okay, fine. So that is those are couple of sources that there seems to be permissibility, and perhaps even in actuality, people who brought karbanos even after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. That seems to have gone away. There is a Rishon.
But not specifically to the Beis HaMikdash site.
Maybe to the Beis HaMikdash site.
Yeah, but also other places?
So this all becomes vague, what actually historically happened.
Okay.
There is a sefer called the Kaftar of Ferach, which is written by Rishon, who records that he came to Yerushalayim and they told him that Rav Yechiel Mipariz wanted to come and build the and bring the Korban Pesach. Rav Yechiel Mipariz was a Rishon, is in the 1200s, wanted to come and bring Korbanos. There are other sources in the Rishonim that people would go. The Meiri talks about people going. That this was, seems like a few centuries, even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, people were still bringing Korbanos, probably, I would assume, at the Har HaBayis. There's even a Roman emperor that it's recorded historically, that Roman emperor was going to grant the Jews permission to go and use the space for their Korbanos. So, okay, these things happened and they either fizzled out, or you could figure out ways that it maybe didn't really happen the way, whatever. But that's right. Yehudi Paris wanted to come is in the 1200s. Yeah.
More than a few.
Right, but when he came, that would have been a change, meaning it went down, and he wanted to come and kind of restart this. So the story goes that in the 1850s, there was someone named Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. I have in my here is the book "An Angel Among Men," one of the biographies of Rav Kook. So unfortunately, there is no index in this. I've been flipping through. I remember seeing through it. There's a lot of great pictures in the book. I remember seeing a picture that of a stamp collection that you could buy from the early years of the, I forget if in the Medina or maybe even before the creation of the state, of, I believe it was Rav Kook, Rav Herzog, and Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, where there was a possible stamp that you could have. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was recognized as the father of modern religious Zionism, which means that he is somebody who felt that we're not just going to wait around Europe waiting for some eagle to come and pick us up and schlep us to Yerushalayim. We have to actively go and set the table for the arrival of Mashiach to come. And that should include the going back and bringing karbanos. And the story continues that he went and raised money for this. Raised money to go and resettle and raise money to go back to Har HaBayis and start bringing korbanos, most specifically the Korban Pesach. He had a lot in mind to bring the Korban Pesach. I finally understand why specifically the Korban Pesach. I'll get to that shortly. But he wanted to go and do this. He wrote a book called Drishas Tzion, where he collected a lot of his essays. That is actually on this page here, Sefer Drishas Tzion. In the Hebrew Books version, I couldn't find all that I could find. I think there might have been more added on into later versions. There was actually about 10, 15 years ago a beautiful reprinting of the Sefer Drishas Tzion, I think with pictures and things like that, that was put together. In it, he includes a letter that he wrote to Baron Rothschild asking for money for this project, and saying that not only, if we do this, not only will we put your name on the building, calling it the Rothschild Beis HaMikdash, but we will also label you Melech HaMashiach, because you are responsible for rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe you're supposed to have a Melech first, so he had various proofs, we're not getting into now, that no, he thought that Karbanos should be the first step, as opposed to the second or third step, in order to bring it. So I remember Rav Schechter would speak about this, he would always make the point that Rav Hirsch Kalischer, all this action was going on in Europe, presumably he might not have been aware that there was like a big mosque on that land that might not have been so feasible. Like, he didn't know. But he was, at least in theory, assuming that let's go back to Yerushalayim and there's this big hill there. I'm sure nobody's around and no one will mind if we go and bring Kabanos there. Yes?
What about, doesn't this raise the issue of whether the role of the Shekhinah, when you talk about Reach, when you talk about issues related to the Shekhinah, related to the Beis HaMikdash.
Yes.
Which it's not there, so the Shekhinah
yes.
isn't...
Well, maybe it is.
What's the point? So that's the issue.
Maybe right? it is. So hold on. Oh, yes, yes. I was just laying the historical context. So he put out these essays. He tried raising money for it. He didn't assume that there should be any issues with it. Mm-hmm. There are major people that that got involved with this machlokas. So Rav Yaakov Ettlinger is probably the most prominent. Rav Yaakov Ettlinger is wrote the Sefer Aruch Haner on Shas. He's the Rebbe of Rav Samsel Raphael Hirsch. He also wrote a Tshuva Sefer called the Binyan Tzion. Why do you call it the Binyan Tzion? Because the first four or five tshuvos in his responsa are addressed to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, telling him that you shouldn't be doing this. And it was they obviously had a give and take. Rav Yaakov Ettlinger was big stuff. He was one of the major players in that area, in that period. Other people that waited on this were some other people you may have heard of. Rabbi Akiva Eger, Sam Sofer, have letters and tshuvos that were addressed to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer dealing with some of these issues. Rav Hirsch Kalischer wrote back and saying, no, I have answers to all of your questions. It is unclear to me, historically, how this ever got resolved. Rabbi Bleich, in his article, says that Rav Hirsch Kalischer may have died thinking that this was going to happen, but really nobody was agreeing with him and it wasn't going to happen. The fellow who, I forget his name now, who wrote the RJJ journal, thought that no, Rav Hirsch Kalischer answered all the questions, and the Sam Sofer and they agreed to him. I don't think that's correct, but okay, he felt that they might have that the questions were answered up and it was going to happen. And the way Rav Schechter tells the story is that they had all these letters and he answered a lot of the questions until he came to a specific issue, which we'll get to at the end of the shiur. So historically, I don't have a way of resolving exactly how this came to it, but let's just point out some of the halachic issues that were discussed. So number one is already talked about, the Rambam. The Rambam says that there is Kedusha in the place, the Kedusha is still there, and that is a good thing and that is a bad thing. It's a good thing in that, so the Beis HaMikdash in essence is still there, because the Shekhinah is still present. Now it's not such a great thing, because you're not allowed to go there if you're Tamei, right? So you have two problems there. But the Rambam, at least in theory, is saying one could bring Karbanos because the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. And not the Beis HaMikdash is still standing, but the Kedusha, the Shekhinah, is still present.
Can we have the discussion with the Shekhinah left?
Right, so that is a machlokas. It's a machlokas that appears 15 times in Shas. Mm-hmm. And the Rambam Paskin. The Rambam Paskin like the Mishnah Nedius. That Kedusha is Liyasod Lava. That the Kedusha was set for the future, and therefore it's still standing. Don't worry, not everybody agreed with the Rambam. In fact, his major, the Ravid, who has his arguments right on the page of the Rambam, has a major issue with this. And that's what I underlined here on the page here. He says it can't be. So back in source number 12, he said, in the underlined part, he says, Shani Omer, Sha'afilu L'Rabbi Yossi D'Amar Kedusha, let's go back to the beginning, where he says, where it is in italics, he says, Amar Vram, Sfaris Atzmo Hizu. That's the Rambam's idea. V'lo Yadati Mi'Einlo. He says, I don't know where he got it from. Uvakam Lakomus Mishnah, Imein Mikdash Yirkav, Uvagamara Amru Denafel Mechitzos, that we have places in the Mishnah, we have places in the Gemara that seem to indicate, not like that. Alma lamanda amar kedusha rishona lo kachru liasid lava lo chalak bein mikdash liushalayim l'sharet Yisrael. And he says, according to the Manda Amar, that the kedusha rishona is not for the future. There's no distinction between Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. There's no and the Rav, and therefore what? You can walk there, right? There's no kedusha there. There's no difference between the Har HaBayis and the square, the Kotel Square. Not only that, El Shani Omer, Shafil Rabbi Yossi Damar Kedusha Shnia Kedusha Liyasid Lava, even if you assume that the Kedusha did continue and still does last, Lo Amar El Lashar Eretz Yisrael, it's only for the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Aval Yushalayim Ula Mikdash, Lo Amar. But that's not the case for Yushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Lefisha Yudea Ezra, Shemikdash Yushalayim Asidin Hishtanos, Ula Skadish Kiddish Acher, Olme Bekavar Hashem Liolam, Kach Nigla Li, Misod Hashem Lirayav. He said that Yushalayim is going to be changed, and therefore it's going to have a different level of Kedusha. Ezra knew that, and therefore Ezra didn't pose on it a great high level of Kedusha. So was revealed to me, Misod Hashem L'Reyev. So was revealed to me from the secrets of God. Right, which is quite an interesting source. I heard a pshat once that Misod Hashem L'Reyev, I forget where, it might have been from Rav Kook, but I don't remember, but he didn't actually mean to say Misod Hashem L'Reyev from the secret from Hashem, but rather Misod Hashem L'Reyev was actually a Rosh Tevos, Mem Hei Lamed, which stood for something else. So it didn't necessarily, he might have been quoting something else.
He's saying that the Kedusha in the city of Jerusalem itself is going to be less.
No, that the Kedusha that was imposed upon Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash by Ezra fell away as soon as the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Meaning what? That anybody could go onto Har HaBayis. That there's no, right? So that's good news and bad news, right? The good news is that we don't have to worry about the Tumah issue. The bad news is that, well, there's no Beis HaMikdash now, so how can we possibly bring the Korban Pesach? So, Ratzirish Kalashra said, well, wait a second. Why did the heter bamos, the idea that you could bring your private altars, why did that go away? That only went away once there was a Beis HaMikdash. Says Rav Sirish Kalasher, once there's no Beis HaMikdash, guess what? You could go once again, bring on bamos. So Rav Sirish Kalasher says, so go to Yerushalayim, go to the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Rambam, it's the Beis HaMikdash, and you could bring a korban there. According to the Ravid, it's like the rest of the land of Israel. And the worst that could be is a bama. It's a private altar, which you're allowed to do in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. So you should go ahead and do it. That's not a problem. Except that it quite possibly still is a problem. Because the Ravid never says, oh, and therefore you could bring a bama. He never says that. And if we think about it, we go back to about 20 minutes ago when we quoted the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma's pshat in the Rambam was that when the Rambam said that there is that the need to have korbanos falls away, the Meshech Chachma explained that's only the need for korbanos on a private altar, but it has nothing to do with the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim. So the Meshech Chachma says, well, wait a second, the idea that bamos should come back actually has no basis. Not only that, there is a shita of Rav Chaim Kohn. I assume he was a Kohen. I don't know if his last name was Kohn, but that's the way he's quoted in Tosos, that Rav Chaim Kohn says that explicitly in Tosos, in the Gemara, on the page of the Gemara, that even though the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, there is no permissibility to once again bring on Bamos. So the Meshech Chachma, source number 15, in his introduction, says, now, based on my explanation of the Mor Nevuchim, now I understand the pshat of Rav Chaim Kohn, that the heter of Bamos was to get Bnei Yisrael out of the Avodah Zarah issue. Now they have the Beis Hamikdash. They bring Karbanos because they're supposed to bring Karbanos regardless of any Avodah Zarah issue. The Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. The Avodah Zarah issue doesn't come back. Hence, there's no permissibility to bring Bamos anymore. Okay? So Tzvirish Kalasher didn't assume that way. Tzvirish Kalasher felt that, no, we should do it. It's okay. And anyways, when you have a Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, you probably would pass him like the Rambam over the Ravid. But, okay, that's the issue within one issue, the issue of the Beis HaMikdash. What about the issue of Tuma, which somebody raised? So the issue of Tuma is the least of the issues. That's actually taken care of by an explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah in source number 14, right, it's Perek Zayin of Maseches Pesachim, Mishnah Vav. It says, Nitma Kal Orubo. If the congregation or the majority of the congregation is Tamei, Oshayu HaKohanim Tameim VaKal Tahor, where the Kohanim are Tamei and the people are Tahor, Yase Betuma, you could bring their Kabanos Betuma, Nitma Miyotakal Tahorin Osen Esarishon VaTameim Osen Esasheni. And if only a few people are Tamei, so the Tahor people bring the Korban Pesach, the first Pesach around, and the Tamei people will bring the Korban Pesach in Pesach Sheni. But what is the Mishnah saying? That if the majority of people are Tamei, the Korbanos could be brought Betuma. And that is an explicit, that's a concept called Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. That Tuma becomes Mutter when the congregation is Tamei. And the rules of Tuma for Korbanos that are required, for Me'akev Korbanos, for necessary Korbanos, fall away. You can't bring voluntary Korbanos, but you could bring obligatory Korbanos. So that issue really isn't that big of an issue. Another issue that was discussed was the issue of Kohanim. That who says our Kohanim are actually Kohanim? So who says, well, what do you mean? They say they're Kohanim. And that's an idea called Kohanim HaMuchzakim, that Kohanim have a chazaka, that their father was a Kohen, my grandfather was a Kohen, my great-grandfather was a Kohen. Why shouldn't I be a Kohen? So that's a good taina, right? You should be a Kohen. However, when Ezra came to brought the people back from Bavel, so that's source number 16, Ezra said, Elu bikshuk savam hamisyachasim v'lo nimsu v'yugolu mina kahuna. That he requested people's yichus documents. And I want proof that you're a Kohen. Right? Not just enough for you to be a Kohen muchzakim, that you have a chazaka, that you're a Kohen, but that you actually have to demonstrate your yichus that you're a Kohen. So who can do that today? So there are, they say that these Rappaport families could. I'm not really sure what that means. I think they can date themselves back to the Shach. Right, the Shach was a Rappaport. I think his last name was Shapsai Rappaport, and apparently he traced himself back to Kohanim. Back to Aaron. Right, I'm not sure what that means. I've never seen these documents, but that's what they say. So there's like one Rappaport who lives in Lakewood that goes around to all the Pidyon events. Like every day he's at a different Pidyon event, because everyone wants to make sure that he's there for the Pidyon event. But it seems like Ezra required it. So maybe you can, in order to duchen, and in order to do a pinyon aben, in order to the stringencies of Kohanim, that would go back to who your parents are. Right, but perhaps to actually do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, you actually need to demonstrate. You need to bring proof. So Rishirish Kalasher said, "Oh, come on, that was Ezra, plus the people he brought back were the." We learned Sefer Ezra, right? They weren't the greatest guys. There was this whole intermarriage was rampant during that time. So he required that higher level. Or perhaps, if you can do that higher level, so do that higher level. But to say that that's required in order to bring Karbanos, we don't have any source that that's actually required in order to bring Karbanos. There are other issues as well in terms of Big Day Kahuna. Were Big Day Kahuna necessary? Do we have Techelis? Do we not have Techelis in order to have Big Day Kahuna? Although maybe Big Day Kahuna aren't really necessary. There's another issue of where exactly the Mizbeach is, that the Mizbeach has to be in a specific spot. So do we know exactly where that spot is? We don't, and how big is an Amma? How big is the Mizbeach supposed to be? So as Swedish College has suggested, listen, we know approximately where it is. Let's just make a smaller Mizbeach. And that way we'll know we've got it in the right spot. Right? So that idea is out there as well. There is a suggestion of an interesting idea. Rav Shechter, I never noticed this, and it was always bothering me. Why this whole discussion is mostly about bringing the Korban Pesach. Why only bring the Korban Pesach? They bring a lot of korbanos. Once you're doing it, you should be doing it, right? So there is a pasuk not in this week's parsha, next week's parsha, Parshas Bichukosai in the Tochacha, where the pasuk says, "V'nasati es areichem charba v'hashimosi es mikdashechem v'lo ariach bereach nichoach." I will lay your cities to waste and make your holy places desolate, and I will not partake of your Reach Nichoach. What's Reach Nichoach? Reach Nichoach is referring to the Korbanos, right? That I don't have any interest in your Reach Nichoach anymore. So, well, Hashem's telling us, I don't want your Korbanos, right? That's what it says in the Torah. So the Emek Dover is written by the Netziv, and the Netziv says this explicitly. I couldn't believe the Netziv wrote this explicitly. He says, and I know it's a little hard to read, but he says, "The afal gav da hamikdash shomei mikol makom efshar di yishar hamizbeach b'makom lahakriv alav." What's this talking about? He's saying that even though the base of Migdash is destroyed, maybe the mizbeach could still stand. So therefore, this pasuk is telling us, but still, I don't want anything to do with your karbanos. But go to the next underlined part where he says, "Aval." It's Rashi script also. But he says, "Aval rak psachim hikrivu the loksiv, but only bring the korban pesach." Why the loksiv bereach nichoach? Because the term Reach Nichoach is not associated with the Korban Pesach. So Hashem says, I don't want your Reach Nichoach. Yeah, I don't want your Korban Tamid. I don't want your Ketores. I don't want that stuff. But the Korban Pesach, maybe we could say, we're going to bring anyways. We're going to be able to Masha Inkin call Korbanos Ksiv Reach Nichoach, as opposed to the other Korbanos where it says it. Mishum Hachi, and he even says it. Mishum Hachi, Lo Ikivu B'Chorban, Beis HaMikdash, Mishum Dechsiv Lo Reach Nichoach. Therefore, I can't bring those. But I could bring the Korban Pesach to the Netziv. Yeah? Are you going to say something?
No.
Okay. So that idea is out there as well. So that is so those are many of the Roshi Tevos, many of the ideas that are out there. There is a total side issue, which Rabbi Bleich quotes at the end. It's an interesting concept. The Rambam, another Machlokas, Rambam and Raivin. There is a Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is supposed to be roasted. The Korban Pesach, we assume, is supposed to be roasted whole. Wait a second. There's a problem with roasting an animal whole, because what's in a whole animal you're not allowed to eat? The Gidanasha. Right? So what do you do about that? So the Rambam says, it's okay, you roast it whole, and when you get to the, and you eat it, and when you get to the Gidanasha, so you pull out the Gidanasha. That's no problem. Wait a second. How many of you have ever cooked something with non-kosher things in the pot? Right, we generally assume there's something called blios, that this is going to be absorbed all over the place. So the Ravid says, the Ravid is known for his colorful language sometimes. So he says, Amar Avram, the bottom of the underlined part, he says, "B'chai Roshi ain iser gadol mizeh." He says, what do you mean? By my life, there's no greater iser than this. You bring hyperbole, but you're bringing a korban and you're putting the leaving the gidanasha in the korban, right? So yitzla pesach im gidanasha. And then he says, "V'im eska v'ochel Pesach, if I'm zocha to eat the Korban Pesach, v'yavi lefanai kazeh, and they bring me a Korban Pesach like that, ha'isi chovto b'karka lefanav, I'm going to throw it on the floor." This is not kosher, right? So how do you resolve this machlokas? Right? The Rambam is saying one way, So when I first heard this, I thought, what do you mean? We have machlokism, we resolve machlokism. That's what we do, right? We resolve machlokism. So there is a side issue, we can talk about this another time. There's a side issue of when do you... there are many, many Talmidei Chacham over the years have written two types of works. In fact, we quoted before, of Yaakov Ettlinger. Yaakov Ettlinger wrote the Tshuvas Binyan Sion, Shailos Tshuvas Binyan Sion, which is a responsa literature. And he also wrote a book called Aruch Laner on Gemara. Now, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but But there are many people like that. No Deb Yehuda wrote the Tzlach, and he wrote the Shail Sechubas No Deb Yehuda. Luchsam Sofer wrote Luchsam Sofer Al Hashas, and he wrote the response of Luchsam Sofer. What do you do if you have a contradiction between the two? What do you have to do what do you have to do with the contradiction? So there's two ways to think about this. On one hand, one could say, well, you should follow the way it says in the Gemara, because when he wrote his Pirush on the Gemara, he went through the entire sugya. When you write a responsa to somebody, so you don't necessarily have time to research it fully. You have to get back to the person. So the time that he had to research it most fully is when he was writing his commentary on the Gemara. That's one approach. The other approach is to say, no, you should paskin like the way he writes in the tshuva. Because I think I heard this b'shem Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Because the way he writes in the responsa, when he writes a tshuva to somebody, you have extra siyata d'shmaya to have the right answer. And I can tell you, it's there. Right? When a rabbi has to paskin a shaila l'maisa, he has extra. He could think of more things, maybe, and perhaps there's extra siyata d'shmaya to make extra help of heaven in order to make sure that he gets it right. I have a story to tell on that, but we're running out of time now. So I was just thinking. Yes, it's true we resolve disputes, but perhaps we're only comfortable resolving disputes when it's real halacha l'maisa, when it's real practical. And this machlokas, Rambam and Ravid, is it really practical? So that leaves you to the rest of the machlokas that we've had over the duration of the night. Okay. Rav Schechter when he is told the story over, he said that the issue fell on this last issue, on source number 19. The pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, Ki el makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha mikol shiftechem l'shum es shemo sham l'shichnosid reshu uvasa shama. Then the place where Hashem chooses for all the shvatim to put His name, there you're going to reside and you're going to darshan. And when you get there, right, l'shichnosid reshu uvasa shama. So the Ramban quotes from the Sifrei. Uva Sifrei Nidrashu, Durush al Pinavi. You're going to darshan based on the prophets. Yochel Hintin Ach Yom Lecha Navi. Maybe you should just wait until a Navi tells you. You shouldn't even bother trying to figure it out. Talmud Lomer L'Shichnos Nidrashu, Vasa Shama, that you should try to figure it out. And then afterwards, a Navi will tell you whether you're right. V'chena Tamotzi B'David. And so too you find by David Amel. David Amel researched, tried to figure out where exactly is the Har HaBayis, but he didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. He actually never built the Beis HaMikdash, but he knew you couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash until a Navi gave him the okay. So when Rav Schechter told him the story, he said that's the way this issue... There was no proof to that. Because even if you figure out where the Beis HaMikdash is, you have to wait for a Navi to give you the okay in order to actually for it to function as the Beis HaMikdash. The truth is, one can have a question on that. Is that what you're about to ask a question on that? What's the question you can ask on that? That's only when you're building a new Beis HaMikdash, but this is still a continuation of the Kedusha of the previous one. So I don't know, if I ever have a moment with him, I'll try to ask him that question. But right, and that's the theory, right? So we don't have to resolve Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, but the Navi will give Eliyahu will tell us and give us instructions how to do it. Not everybody necessarily assumes that's the way it's going to work. But anyways, these are some of the issues that are out there. This is obviously a lot of richness in this area of halacha, and the source of learning these halachas, and Yisrael Hashem will be able to be zelda to the tefillah.